Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just know you ought to know about it. And so many of you are so engaged in the arts. It's just a beautiful thing here in the great state of Minnesota. We're going to start out with our first guest. Abby Smith is her name. And the name of the band she's a part of, Speak Easy. Yeah, take a listen. If you've never heard her before, she's considered one of those cool musicians, you know, very catchy songs. You don't forget them. And she's originally from the South and relocating to the Twin Cities almost 5 years ago. Minneapolis-based Speakeasy is a noir aesthetics obsessed indie pop. Indie pop artist that creates songs for the feelers when the paint in her head won't dry. So there you go. Hey, Abby, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm so curious about all that you do and how you got into this. Tell me, first of all, when did you start the band?
Actually, it's less of a band and more of myself and a partner of mine who co-produces with me. But I originally started at the end of 2021, and then I put out my first album January of 2022, and then I just released this new EP.
You know, anytime you release a new EP, I know you, for me, you get nervous, right? You just kind of go, whoa, okay, did I do the right thing? Are they going to love the songs? Do you ever worry about that?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Everything I put out, I worry about. I'm an over-worrier, actually.
So your first, back in August of 2021, Prohibition Hippie was released earlier this year, leading to your soul-touching, synth-heavy Bootlegger Blood. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so I originally, I originally wanted to make it a full album, but I thought maybe it would be better to kind of shorten it up and keep it tight-knit. And the album name actually comes from, I come from a line of bootleggers in my family. So I like to associate some of my more toxic emotional qualities to, that blood lineage, which is why I call it Bootlegger Blood. But, it's all about being very raw and, very emotional and, you know, realizing that you're not perfect when it comes to, you know, your interactions with people or your interactions with emotions. So it's kind of like a fighting conflict all the time of like, am I out of line with my emotions right now? Or are they just kind of thing? Right. So that's kind of a battle that you see tugging back and forth on this EP.
You know, some of the critics are saying things like Speakeasy will give you feelings of melancholy and nostalgia. It's real. It's real. Put your head against a rainy window and pretend you're in a music video. Music. So that's how your music has been described. And when you hear that, do you write in that thought process? Do you write thinking like that? Or were you surprised to hear it that way?
I was a little surprised just because it was like one of the first things that I heard about my music. And so it was weird hearing it described by other people, but yeah, I mean, it's close. I definitely, it feels very like other dimension like, and, it usually like takes me to a darker place, I would say. Sometimes I can mellow out to it, but I would say like when I'm writing music and I'm putting it together, like I am in a much like, as far as like aesthetics go and whatnot.
You know, you are quite interesting. You do more than just sing and write, no matter how emotional the music is, but you also are developing video games. Am I correct?
Yes. I'm a producer and a content manager and also developer at DreadXP, and I do my own solo stuff as well.
That's awesome. Can you tell us about one game? I'm curious to know what type of game you would create.
Oh, wow. I would create or that I have created?
I'll take both.
All right. I'll take both. So a game that I've already worked on, it was a game, not a part of DreadXP, but it was one of the games that got me into it, like my job and whatnot, is a game called Balivore. And I focus only in horror games, to be frank. I actually developed it based on a dream I had, a reoccurring dream I had as a kid, where like these plants were growing out of me, and like I would rip them out and I would bleed, kind of thing. And that it always used to scare me so much as a child. So I turned it into a video game, and you know, it was interesting. Definitely freaked people out, which is the goal. So, you know, that's how it works. A game that I'd like to create is, I really like what I like to define as entertainment horror. So anything that's meant to entertain you and, you know, be a happy thing. So think of like basic things like, you know, horror in a movie theater, or like at an art museum or something, or a TV show. I would love to make some sort of like really, really good clown game if I had to put my finger on one kind of game that I'd like to develop. It would be like a really creepy clown game.
There are so many young people that are into that, and I'm just curious to know, does it bring you joy?
Absolutely. Yeah. Mainly because I think that horror is very expressive. I think that it allows us to kind of explore things that are naturally kind of uncomfortable, but put them in a more like digestible setting. And you know, there's many titles that I'm producing right now. For example, My Friendly Neighborhood. It's very, like, a lot of kids love that game. And, you know, I was just at a bunch of conventions where I saw a bunch of kids, like, playing them and reacting to them. And it's just amazing to, you know, see the effect that it's actually having.
Well, I know that you are performing live at The Alchemist in White Bear Lake. Tell us about the show.
Yeah, so you know, The Alchemist is actually a shout out to The Alchemist, but they're a great local bar here, and they're very like steampunky, I should say, and like vintagey, like the interior and whatnot. So it really fits like the speakeasy vibe. But I'll be up on their second floor, you know, specifically for Market Fest that happens over here in White Bear Lake. But I'll be doing a full line of, you know, speakeasy things, and probably some covers after that as well.
Final question for you. You relocated here 5 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm just wondering, are you thinking of taking flight again, moving to another city to take in everything you need to take in from one spot to the next?
Absolutely not. This has been my home since I first came here. You know, I used to come here every single summer. And There's never been a place where I've felt like I belonged more than the Twin Cities. And, I say to everyone, so I absolutely love it here. And it really brings out the most in me, I would say.
Yeah, this album was recorded in Minneapolis, and you co-produced it with Victor Krauss from Germany, and I can imagine how excited you must have been. I've heard of that name. So I wish you well with this. The Alchemist in White Bear Lake sounds like the right place for you to perform. So do you still have tickets available?
Absolutely, yeah. Anyone can come. You know, it's more of a, like, come hang out kind of thing and, you know, listen to some music. So, you know,
well, take care of yourself, Abby. Seriously, I can't imagine what your video game is like, even though in my head I think I do, because I'm from another generation. But, you know, okay. It sounds like you really love what you're doing. So blessings to you, and I look forward to hearing from you again. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Abby.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So again, everyone, don't miss out on the performance. It's live at The Alchemist in White Bear Lake. All you have to do is go to The Alchemist, WBL for WhiteBearLake.com for more information. And yes, Abby Smith is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We'll be back. It is 9:22 here at WCCO. Welcome back. Center Stage is all about arts and entertainment. We know you know a lot about it. You have really given and taken good care of the artists. We are so grateful for all of you for giving and coming to see us perform. And by the way, as we're waiting for our guests for this this segment, I want to mention that my brother Fred and I are performing together. For the first time, we are doing a duet show. And it's really quite an interesting duet show. We have music that will have some French in it, and I think there's one with a little bit of Spanish being spoken, and we call it Duos, Duets, and Pairings. And unfortunately, it's not on the website, but I do want to make clarity on some of the things that are listed on the website. It says that we are performing in the newly opened, fully tinted outdoor venue with choice lake views. And that is not true. We are in the main room indoors. And so when you come in to check in, you'll know all you have to do is say Geraldine Steele and Fred Steele, or Geraldine and Fred Steele singing the duets. Some of the duets you'll know, a lot of them you won't know. And I'm just so excited about the lineup and the band and so much more. So we do look forward to seeing you there. The show starts at 7:30. 7:30. This is happening on Thursday, July 14th. Again, it's Thursday, July 14th at 7:30 p.m. The doors open at 6:15, though. 6:15. And of course, you can start ordering and drinking and that sort of thing, getting your whatever it is that you're ordering for dinner. And it's so exciting that it's happening at Crooners. I know Mary T. She's a dear friend to me, and I think that what she's done is really remarkable. And there are so many, I would say probably four other jazz venues or bars that really helped her. And she caught on to the business so quickly, whether it was Lowell over at the Dakota, there was someone at Hook and Ladder, and it was just so remarkable and so wonderful, the outpouring of how, you know, people that really wanted to help. And she's having great success. I'm very, very proud of her. So we hope that you'll come out and see Fred and I. We are very excited about this. You can go online to croonersmn.com. Again, that's croonersmn.com, and check it out on July 14th. And again, that starts at 7:30. We'll be done. It's about an hour and a half show, maybe an hour and 20 minutes. So we're really excited about seeing you there. And maybe there'll be some sing-alongs as well. Mm-mm-mm. And we may even have a couple of special guests. So we'll keep you posted on that. That is for sure. By the way, I know that we haven't heard from Rohan Preston in a while. We hope to get him in next Sunday night, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be here next Sunday night. So I wanted to let you know that. Also, my son, Michael Battle, will not be joining us tonight. He is doing something pretty important in Los Angeles, and that's all I'll say about it. But really, it's quite exciting, his life in Los Angeles, and he feels very safe. But I was shocked when I interviewed earlier a guest that talked about this new study about where to live and the places that are way overpriced and places that, you know, where you can get a decent price for a home. But L.A. was listed as, you know, forget about it, basically. So there you go. Again, just want to remind you, Thursday, July 14th, I do hope that you will come and see Fred and I together. So excited about it with his baritone voice. It's really going to be quite remarkable. So we hope you'll come. Again, that's at Crooners, C-R-O-O-N-E-R-S, M-N for Minnesota, .com. All right. It's about time for us to take a break. I do want to let you know that we have a guest coming up at 9. Oh, my goodness, Geraldine, don't get that mixed up. We have a guest coming on at 9:33. Her name is Jaina Pena, and Theater Mule's Literary Associate and Office Manager. And why are we talking to them? I'm so excited to hear them talk about the Emerging Playwrights Circle, which we have talked about before. This is going to be pretty exciting. So we do hope you'll stick and stay with us. They come on at 9:33. All right, Jonathan, do your thing. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment. And I'm so excited to introduce you to some of you. Jaina Pena, she's Theater Mule's Literary Associate and Office Manager as well. Jaina, welcome to CCO.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you. My goodness, Theater Mu announces the members of its new emerging playwrights circle, and I want to hear all about it. Go.
Thank you so much. This we've been planning this for kind of a very long time between. So myself and I'm on the literary committee at Mu with artistic director and with artistic associate Annie Wang, and we have been Annie and I kind of had this idea for a playwright circle, a writers group, specifically for Asian American artists who maybe haven't had opportunities to writers groups like this before. And we just kept talking about it, and just got so excited about it, and we're just so excited that it's finally happening. It's gotten pushed back a couple of times due to scheduling things, but it's happening this July, and we'll be for incredible new writers that we'll be with, we'll be meeting for the next 8 weeks to just all things playwriting, basically. We're so excited.
You know, Theater Mu has a quite a gift in expanding the artist development programming and by introducing the Mu Emerging Playwright Circle. I'm amazed at how many things that you guys do. It's really quite remarkable, and you have such excellence in what you do. This is for Asian Americans, correct? I just want to make sure I have that. Okay, and this is at the genesis of their playwriting career, so I can imagine how excited they all are, and all have been chosen. They are now a cohort, and how is that working for them now?
Yes, we're so excited. So we have not started yet. Our first session is in July, but we've been in communication, and you know, all the applications were just so incredible. You know, Annie and I were just so excited to. I read everybody's expressing this really excited desire for a community and a supportive community, you know, of writers just to support each other and just to throw ideas around with each other. You know, we've been talking over email so far, and we're all just so excited to get started, you know.
Can you tell us the names of the four?
Yes, definitely. So we have Philip de Sala Silva, Emma Lai, Katie Rain, and Sunny Tao, four really, really great new writers.
How are they responding to you now that you've done this? I mean, this was your idea. You've put this together. And I can imagine that they know what this means. This can really increase not just what they are learning, but kind of open up their possibilities, you know, being able to create. That's a really big thing for artists. So knowing that you have done this for them, first of all, I want to say thank you. That's a really big, big deal. So I hope you know that.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so sweet.
So what are you hearing from them once they found out that they were going to be a part of this in July? Were they excited? Were they terribly scared?
You know, a little bit of both. I think we all feel a little bit of that. I mean, yeah, I think the whole idea of being able to talk to each other and also just taking in each other's art as well. And then we're also partnering with some other theaters in town as well, just to be able to have access to see other art that's happening, other theater, and really just to be able to expand access for each of them. You know, I talked to one person who kind of said to me that they kept saying to themselves, is it real? Did I actually get to be part of this? You know, and we're just, I think it is such a brand new thing that, you know, people have just been hungry for, really. So, and that's something that Annie and I were talking about when we were first proposing this idea and thinking of bringing this forward, that it would be just such an incredible opportunity. And this is the first year that we're kind of trying this out. So we are working it out as we go along. And we keep coming up with new ideas of, oh, we can do this, and then we can talk to other people, and who knows if we'll have time for all of it, but we're building it up as we go along.
Here's the thing I really appreciate from you is that this cohort is not just about the Asian Americans here. I mean, you're really looking at expanding this, you know, Asian American theater at large is what you're looking at. And that is remarkable. This could be a big change in what you do as well as what these artists will do.
Thank
you. Yeah, I think we've been thinking, you know, for right now, thinking locally with the writers that we have here in the Twin Cities. You know, we know that there are artists here that we want to get to know, and just continuing to expand that circle. We're just really excited.
Yeah. So the cohort will meet for the first time in July. Is that correct?
Yes, for the very first time. The hope is to have the first meeting happen in person, and from then on we'll be over Zoom the following sessions.
And what are your expectations for the first meeting?
Ooh, a lot of nerves, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what it would be for me as well. But I can imagine how they are looking forward to learning. And so when you decided what this program was going to look like, can you give me four ideas of what you need to introduce to this cohort and have them work on so we are clear on what this means?
Yeah, I think one thing that Annie and I are really going to lean into is making sure that everyone has comes out of this cohort with really clear goals for themselves as an artist. And so one thing we want to be able to produce is an artistic statement for the writers to be able to, in a few sentences or short paragraph, like be able to really, really articulate their mission as an individual and what they want their art to be about. And the same goes as well for the pieces that they create. You know, we didn't ask, when we opened up applications, we didn't ask for a full length play already, knowing that these would be newer writers. The hope is that they will be able to come out of this with a vision towards a full piece, whatever that means to them, whether that be a series of short plays, a full length play, a one act, but really this idea that the artists will be able to understand what is important to them and what best serves the stories that they want to tell. Because, you know, we all have those inside of us, and there's just so much possibility. It can be hard to narrow that down. So
isn't
we really want people to have these conversations. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And having these conversations and also getting a small stipend, I appreciate that as well, because we know how so many actors are really hurting or really need, no matter how small it is. Thank goodness there's something that they will receive in monetary. So that really matters to me. Also, the Twin Cities art scene, as well as comp tickets to productions by Artistry, Chan Hassan Dinner Theaters, Guthrie Theater, History Theater, Lyric Arts, Minnesota Fringe Festival, and even Park Square Theater. So you have this huge family now involved, the family of theaters that are also involved in welcoming these students, correct?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's been wonderful. That was another one of our primary goals, was to be able to give access to these. So that is what the stipend is primarily for, is if there's a theater that we maybe didn't get to or couldn't coordinate with just for scheduling or what have you, we would be able to still at the end of the day be able to provide access to those. That was really important for us.
Yeah. Final question for you. As they move forward with this, this is a really big deal. And how many weeks is it lasting this summer?
It will be 8 weeks. Yes.
8 weeks. My goodness. So you must be really excited to see what the end will be. And I'm so excited for you, excited for the Asian American artists that are the playwriters that are going to get so much work done and open up their horizons. So congratulations to you for coming and making this happen. This is a really big deal. So thank you, Jane. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. You take care of yourself. You're welcome.
You as well.
All right, you guys. That's the bottom line. When you can do something like that, you are doing something. Welcome back to Center Stage, All Things Arts and Entertainment. And I'm so excited to introduce you to some of you. Jane Pena, she's Theater Muse Literary Associate and Office Manager as well. Jane, welcome to CCO.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Glad to have you. My goodness, Theater Mu announces the members of its new emerging playwrights circle, and I want to hear all about it. Go.
Thank you so much. This we've been planning this for kind of a very long time, between So myself and I'm on the literary committee at MOO with artistic director and with artistic associate Annie Wang, and we have been Annie and I kind of had this idea for a playwright circle, a writers group, specifically for Asian American artists who maybe haven't had opportunities to writers groups like this before. And we just kept talking about it, and just got so excited about it, and we're just so excited that it's finally happening. It's gotten pushed back a couple of times due to scheduling things, but it's happening this July, and will be for incredible new writers that we'll be with. We'll be meeting for the next 8 weeks to just all things playwriting. Basically, we're so excited.
You know, Theater Mew has a quite a gift in expanding the artist development programming and by introducing the Mew Emerging Playwright Circle. I'm amazed at how many things that you guys do. It's really quite remarkable, and you have such excellence in what you do. This is for Asian Americans, correct? I just want to make
yes,
sure I have
is.
That. Okay, and
yes.
This is at the genesis of their playwriting career, so I can imagine how excited they all are, and all have been chosen. They are now a cohort, and how is that working for them now?
Yes, we're so excited. So we have not started yet. Our first session is in July, but we've been in communication, and you know, all the applications were just so incredible. You know, Annie and I were just so excited to. Read everybody. Everybody's expressing this really excited desire for a community and a supportive community, you know, of writers just to support each other and just to throw ideas around with each other. You know, we've been talking over email so far, and we're all just so excited to get started. You know,
can you tell us the names of the four?
Yes, definitely. So we have Philip de Sala Silva, Emma Lai, Katie Rain, and Sunny Tao, four really, really great new writers.
How are they responding to you now that you've done this? I mean, this was your idea. You've put this together. And I can imagine that they know what this means. This can really increase not just what they are learning, but kind of open up their possibilities, you know, being able to create. That's a really big thing for artists. So knowing that you have done this for them, first of all, I want to say thank you. That's a really big, big deal. So I hope you know that.
Oh, thank you so much. That's so sweet.
So what are you hearing from them once they found out that they were going to be a part of this in July? Were they excited? Were they terribly scared?
You know, a little terrified. Bit of both. I think we all feel a little bit of that. I mean, yeah, I think the whole idea of being able to talk to each other and also just taking in each other's art as well. And then we're also partnering with some other theaters in town as well, just to be able to have access to see other art that's happening, other theater, and really just to be able to expand access for each of them. You know, I talked to one person who kind of said to me that they kept saying to themselves, is it real? Did I actually get to be part of this? You know, and we're just, I think it is such a brand new thing that, you know, people have just been hungry for, really. So, and that's something that Annie and I were talking about when we were first proposing this idea and thinking of bringing this forward, that it would be just such an incredible opportunity. And this is the first year that we're kind of trying this out. So we are working it out as we go along. And we keep coming up with new ideas of, oh, we can do this, and then we can talk to other people, and who knows if we'll have time for all of it, but we're building it up as we go along.
Here's the thing I really appreciate from you is that this cohort is not just about the Asian Americans here. I mean, you're really looking at expanding this, you know, Asian American theater at large is what you're looking at. And that is remarkable. This could be a big change in what you do as well as what these artists will do.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we've been thinking, you know, for right now, thinking locally with the writers that we have here in the Twin Cities, you know, we know that there are artists here that we want to get to know, and just continuing to expand that circle. We're just really excited.
Yeah. So the cohort will meet for the first time in July. Is that correct?
Yes, for the very first time. The hope is to have the first meeting happen in person, and from then on we'll be over Zoom the following sessions.
And what are your expectations for the first meeting?
Ooh, a lot of nerves, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what it would be for me as well. But I can imagine how they are looking forward to learning. And so when you decided what this program was going to look like, can you give me four ideas of what you need to introduce to this cohort and have them work on so we are clear on what this means?
Yeah, I think one thing that Annie and I are really going to lean into is making sure that everyone has comes out of this cohort with really clear goals for themselves as an artist. And so one thing we want to be able to produce is an artistic statement for the writers to be able to, in a few sentences or short paragraphs, like be able to really, really articulate their mission as an individual and what they want their art to be about. And the same goes as well for the pieces that they create. You know, we didn't ask, when we opened up applications, we didn't ask we didn't ask for a full length play already, knowing that these would be newer writers. The hope is that they will be able to come out of this with a vision towards a full piece, whatever that means to them, whether that be a series of short plays, a full length play, a one act, but really this idea that the artists will be able to understand what is important to them and what best serves the stories that they want to tell. Because, you know, we all have those inside of us, and there's just so much possibility. It can be hard to narrow that down. So
isn't
we really want to be able to have these conversations. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And having these conversations and also getting a small stipend, I appreciate that as well, because we know how so many actors are really hurting or really need, no matter how small it is. Thank goodness there's something that they will receive in monetary. So that really matters to me. Also, the Twin Cities art scene, as well as comp tickets to productions by Artistry, Chan Has and Dinner Theaters, Guthrie Theater, History Theater, Lyric Arts, Minnesota Fringe Festival, and even Park Square Theater. So you have this huge family now involved, the family of theaters that are also involved in welcoming these students, correct?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's been wonderful. That was another one of our primary goals, was to be able to give access to these. So that is what the stipend is primarily for, is if there's a theater that we maybe didn't get to or couldn't coordinate with just for scheduling or what have you, we would be able to still at the end of the day be able to provide access to those. That was really important for us.
Yeah. Final question for you. As they move forward with this, this is a really big deal. And how many weeks is it lasting this summer?
It will be 8 weeks. Yes.
8 weeks. My goodness. So you must be really excited to see what the end will be. And I'm so excited for you, excited for the Asian American artists that are the playwriters that are going to get so much work done and open up their horizons. So congratulations to you for coming and making this happen. This is a really big deal. So thank you, Jane. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. You take care of yourself. You're welcome.
You as well.
All right, you guys. That's the bottom line. When you can do something like that, you are doing something. Seriously, when you can bring people together to make them better, to help make them better. And hey, usually they make us better as well. That was Jane Pena, Theater Moves Literary Associate and Office Manager. Please read about it. And if you happen to know any of them, please tell them that I said, congratulations. That's a big deal. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. Welcome back, everyone, to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Harold Holmes, Jr., by the way. And he's playing the role of Melvin Franklin. If you don't know that name, well, get ready, honey, because it is all about the life and times of the Temptations. And I am so excited to speak with him tonight because this is the music I grew up on. And I'm sure many of you listening tonight know all about this music and how wonderful before it is. So let us welcome Harold Holmes, who is playing the role of Melvin Franklin in the big event, The Life and Times of the Temptations. Welcome, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad that you joined us. I was so curious about you being Melvin because, I mean, gosh, you know, every woman was falling for him, Melvin, of course. And you are a native of Saginaw. Yeah, exactly. You are a native of Saginaw, Michigan. I know my family and I, we sang in Saginaw. And years ago, man, years ago. But you are making your tour debut. You're doing this. This is your debut. How does it feel?
Oh, my God. It feels incredible. Just to give you a little backstory. So I began singing at the age of 7 after seeing the Temptations miniseries. So I saw that as a kid and thought, you know, the Temptations were the coolest thing in the world. And I started my own group called the Little Temptations when I was a kid and did all of that stuff. And then obviously, as you grow older, you're like, okay, I can't really be a Temptation, right? And fast forward 22 years, and I am living out a childhood dream of being a Temptation.
It's amazing. You always wanted to be a Temptation, and here you are. This is really quite remarkable. What does it feel like for you, though, like when you are preparing to go on that stage, no matter how many times you've done it, you are preparing to go on that stage. Where is there fear there? Do you need the goosebumps to help you get on the stage and make it happen?
There's no fear at this point. I mean, the good thing about it is that, you know, the Temptations were a group. So we always have a circle up before we go out there. And we just remember the story that we're telling, you know, the story and the legacy of the Temptations and the music is so much bigger than us individually. So we really just try to focus on telling this great American story, you know, of music that has lasted over 60 years, you know, and they're still going, they're still touring. So once you kind of take yourself out of it, now, obviously, the first time I did it, I was super nervous, super nervous. But after, you know, after doing it and I've gotten a chance to meet Otis himself and getting that blessing from him, and it's been incredible, an incredible journey.
So when you were out there performing and all of the songs that you, I mean, my goodness, I don't know how you picked the songs for this piece. Whoever had that decision, God help them, because they had such an incredible, songbook. So if we were to sit here and look at it and say, oh, we already know the Temptations. Yeah. It's never like that. It's always something new in this piece that shows us that, hey, you don't want to forget these people. So what is the one thing that you can say you have contributed that has made a big difference to you today?
Contributed to the show? I would say just my own personality and my own flair. I think it helps that I actually am from Michigan, and I literally grew up on the Temptations. Like, you know, I have 20 years plus research and everything when it comes to it. So, you know, really stepping into this character was, I wouldn't say easy, but it was definitely, it definitely felt like home. It felt like something I could do because I had literally been preparing my whole life for it, I think. I think that's what I bring to it. I definitely bring, you could say I'm kind of the comedic relief of the show. Melvin had a lot of personality, so, it's just a great time. And I like how you mentioned that you'll never get to know enough about the story. I mean, that's what I love about telling this story every night is that every individual character gets their own spotlight. So you get a chance to learn about them individually. You know, how they were as young men going through such a tumultuous time in the 60s, you know, with the war going on and the assassination of Dr. King, so many things going on, and how, as artists, they wanted to reflect those times in their music. One thing that I didn't know before doing this show is that they were the first to record the song War, which was made famous by Edwin Starr.
Yeah.
I didn't know the Temptations recorded that song first. But Berry Gordy wasn't too sure about it. You know, he didn't want them to get so political in their music. And so he gave it to Edwin Starr because it was more low risk for him and ended up being, you know, his biggest hit, being number one on the Billboard charts. So that was interesting.
I can just imagine you singing the songs every night. You know, I've had actors say to me, oh, it's just too much. You know, after a while, you have to really find a way to get all that energy going. But there are some shows like this one where you don't need that, I think. I would love to see you guys backstage. You know, if I could just peek through a little camera and just go, yeah, this is how they, because you walk out there and it's just a killer. So what are people saying to you that now that you're in town, right? Are you in town yet?
We'll actually get there tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And you've been here to the Twin Cities before?
Yes, a couple of years ago, but it was only for a couple of days, so I've never really gotten a chance to explore the city. So I'm excited about that.
I'm excited to have you here. And now, of course, you are playing Melvin Franklin. Joining you on stage, who plays Otis Williams, is Marcus Paul James. James T. Lane is playing Paul Williams. And Elijah Ahmad Lewis is playing David Ruffin. Oof.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, he was fine, indeed. Too.
I'm just
curious what that must be like, knowing that you are portraying these super famous, well-known, and beloved artists on stage. I mean, is there ever a moment where you look out at the audience and you think, wow, how blessed am I?
Well, absolutely. Every night you see people of all races, you know, different age groups. You know, you really see how timeless this music is, and sometimes it's hard to actually see the audience because we're on stage. The things that kind of shock me is I get messages sometimes. Actually, a couple of weeks ago, we were in East Lansing, Michigan, at Michigan State, and I get a message after the show from Melvin Franklin's granddaughter, who just happened to be in the crowd, and she said, "You did my grandfather really well. You had his tone and the way he spoke, everything." It brought tears to my eyes, you know? And so you get messages like that and you're just like, wow, like what is my life? You know, I can't believe I'm actually getting the opportunity to do this every night. It's incredible.
I sure hope I get to hear you sing bass, man, because that was the one for me. Okay. Melvin was the one for me. Absolutely. Just want you to know. So congratulations, man. Knock them out. Thank you. Knock us all out. Looking forward to it, sir. You take care of yourself, and thank you, for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Take care, sir. That is Harold Holmes Jr. He's playing the role of Melvin Franklin in this big, huge piece that is about to happen right here in the Twin Cities. It's called The Life and Times of the Temptations. If you don't know about it, you don't know what's happening with it. Oh my gosh, you better ask somebody. Come on, y'all. All right. We're going to take a break and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back, everyone, to Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. And joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline is Harold Holmes Jr., by the way. And he's playing the role of Melvin Franklin. If you don't know that name, well, get ready, honey, because it is all about the life and times of the Temptations. And I am so excited to speak with him tonight because this is the music I grew up on. And I'm sure many of you listening tonight know all about this music and how wonderful it is. So let us welcome Harold Holmes, who is playing the role of Melvin Franklin in the big event, The Life and Times of the Temptations. Welcome, man. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I'm so glad that you joined us. I was so curious about you being Melvin because, I mean, gosh, you know, every woman was falling for him, Melvin, of course. And you are a native of Saginaw. Yeah, exactly. You are a native of Saginaw, Michigan. I know my family and I, we sang in Saginaw. And years ago, man, years ago. But you are making your tour debut. This is your debut. How does it feel?
Oh, my God. It feels incredible. Just to give you a little backstory. So I began singing at the age of 7 after seeing the Temptations miniseries. So I saw that as a kid and thought, you know, the Temptations were the coolest thing in the world. And I started my own group called the Little Temptations when I was a kid and did all of that stuff. And then obviously, as you grow older, you're like, okay, I can't really be a temptation, right? And fast forward 22 years, and I am living out a childhood dream of being a temptation.
It's amazing. You always wanted to be a Temptation, and here you are. This is really quite remarkable.
What does
it feel like for you, though, like when you are preparing to go on that stage, no matter how many times you've done it, you are preparing to go on that stage. Where is there fear there? Do you need the goosebumps to help you get on the stage and make it happen?
There's no fear at this point. I mean, the good thing about it is that, you know, the Temptations were a group, so we always have a circle up before we go out there, and we just remember the story that we're telling. You know, the story and the legacy of the Temptations and the music is so much bigger than us individually. So we really just try to focus on telling this great American story, you know, of music that has lasted over 60 years, you know, and they're still going, they're still touring. So once you kind of take yourself out of it, now obviously the first time I did it, I was super nervous, super nervous. But after, after doing it and I've gotten a chance to meet Otis himself and getting that blessing from him, and it's been incredible, an incredible journey.
So when you were out there performing and all of the songs that you, I mean, my goodness, I don't know how you picked the songs for this piece. Whoever had that decision, God help them, because they had such an incredible, a songbook. So if we were to sit here and look at it and say, oh, we already know the Temptations. Yeah. It's never like that. It's always something new in this piece that shows us that, hey, you don't want to forget these people. So what is the one thing that you can say you have contributed that has made a big difference to you today?
Contributed to the show?
Yeah.
I would say just my own personality and my own flair. I think it helps that I actually am from Michigan, and I literally grew up on the Temptations. Like, you know, I have 20 years plus research and everything when it comes to it. So, you know, really stepping into this character was, I wouldn't say easy, but it was definitely felt like home. It felt like something I could do because I had literally been preparing my whole life for it, I think. I think that's what I bring to it. I definitely bring, you could say I'm kind of the comedic relief of the show. you know, Melvin had a lot of personality, so it's just a great time. And I like how you mentioned that you'll never get to know enough about the story. I mean, that's what I love about telling this story every night, is that every individual character gets their own spotlight. So you get a chance to learn about them individually, you know, how they were as young men going through such a tumultuous time in the 60s, you know, with the war going on and the assassination of Dr. King, so many things going on, and how, as artists, they wanted to reflect those times in their music. One thing that I didn't know before doing this show is that they were the first to record the song War, which was made famous by Edwin Starr.
Yeah.
I didn't know the Temptations recorded that song first. But Berry Gordy wasn't too sure about it. You know, he didn't want them to get so political in their music. And so he gave it to Edwin Starr because it was more low risk for him, and ended up being, you know, his biggest hit, being number one on the Billboard chart. So that was interesting.
I can just imagine you singing the songs every night. You know, I've had actors say to me, oh, it's just too much. You know, after a while, you have to really find a way to get all that energy going. But there are some shows like this one where you don't need that, I think. I would love to see you guys backstage, you know, if I could just peek through a little camera and just go, this is how they, because you walk out there and it's just a killer. So what are people saying to you that now that you're in town, right? Are you in town yet?
We'll actually get there tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And you've been here to the Twin Cities before?
Yes, a couple of years ago, but it was only for a couple of days, so I've never really gotten a chance to explore the city, so I'm excited about that.
I'm excited to have you here. And now, of course, you are playing Melvin Franklin. Joining you on stage, who plays Otis Williams, is Marcus Paul James. James T. Lane is playing Paul Williams. And Elijah Ahmad Lewis is playing David Ruffin. Oof.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, he was fine, too.
I'm just
curious what that must be like, knowing that you are portraying these super famous, well-known, and beloved artists on stage. I mean, is there ever a moment where you look out at the audience and you think, wow, how blessed am I?
Well, absolutely. Every night. you see people of all races, you know, different age groups, you know, you really see how timeless this music is. And sometimes it's hard to actually see the audience because we're on stage. The things that kind of shock me is I get messages sometimes. Mm-hmm. Actually, a couple weeks ago, we were in East Lansing, Michigan, at Michigan State, and I get a message after the show from Melvin Franklin's granddaughter, who just happened to be in the crowd, and she said, "You did my grandfather really well. You had his tone and the way he spoke, everything. It brought tears to my eyes." You know, and so you get messages like that, and you're just like, "Wow! Like, what is my life?" You know, I can't believe I'm actually getting the opportunity to do this every night. It's incredible.
I sure hope I get to hear you sing bass, man, because that was the one for me. Okay, Melvin was one for me. Absolutely. Just want you to know. So congratulations, man. Knock them out. Thank you. Knock us all out. Looking forward to it, sir. You take care of yourself, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.
Take care, sir. That is Harold Holmes, Jr. He's playing the role of Melvin Franklin in this big, huge piece that is about to happen right here in the Twin Cities. It's called The Life and Times of the Temptations. If you don't know about it, you don't know what's happening with it, oh, my gosh, you better ask somebody. Come on, y'all. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment.